Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat.
And this is your co-host, Carl. The Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast is an audio program where we discuss your favorite and not-so-favorite science fiction TV shows and films.
Today we are discussing Jupiter Ascending! So Carl contacted me months ago and said that we needed to see this. Then this fine film got delayed and we got concerned. We were concerned about Jupiter Ascending from the beginning because, number one, Wachowskis.
Yes, that is always a source of concern. Some people have implied that perhaps they were not 100% responsible for the first Matrix movie. And that has impacted, you see, when they go out on their own and they do their own thing, that perhaps it's not quite the same as what we saw in the first Matrix movie. Now, again, that's hearsay. I don't know if anything's been proven, but we simply have extended the Wachowskis their own opportunity to show us, after The Matrix, could they produce another blockbuster that had the same degree of wonder, the same degree of newness in spirit as the first Matrix movie, because of course they wrote it. So this would be a wonderful opportunity to show us what they could do.
Okay, so let me voice the second concern we had. And this is a two-parter because of two people: Channing Tatum and Mila Kunis. Now,
they're perfectly fine folks. They're fine people. They're lovely people.
So Carl just threw me under the bus. So they would not make it into the Royal Shakespeare Company.
What are you saying?
Channing Tatum. But they are fun people. I like them in real life. Channing Tatum, he can take off a shirt like nobody's business. And, oh my God, he can dance. My goodness. Wow.
I haven't seen any movies that he's dancing in. What movie are you talking about, Kat?
Magic Mike.
What is this Magic Mike you speak of? What's this movie about?
It's a movie about male strippers.
Male strippers. And you're saying he does not require a Shakespearean background to pull off that act? I'm shocked.
I'm just saying, he's Shakespeare, but with his body.
Okay. All right. That was lovely. Okay.
And Mila, I just think she's adorable, right? But, you know, she's been in a few things that maybe I like her a lot.
She's a fabulous television actor. I've seen her on many shows.
I like her clothes, and I like her attitude, and I think she's a very positive person.
She strikes me as positive.
She's
me as very positive person.
She's beautiful, and I think she has a good heart.
Okay, so...
And smart. She's smart.
Okay, so these are all good things. But when we saw that they were headlining this epic science fiction adventure, we were a little dubious. It seemed to be an odd pairing for an epic science fiction show movie. So going into it, we tried to keep an open mind. We wanted to give everybody a fair shot: the Wachowskis, Mila, Channing. And then, so we went to it, we saw it in...
Wait. But then it got delayed. And then we were really concerned because we thought it was supposed to come out in the summer, and that's when blockbusters happened. Mm-hmm. But then it got pushed to February, which where science fiction John Carter films go to die.
You did not have to go there. You did not have to say
science fiction hard. Films go to die in February. So anything February, March, that's when you know something might not happen.
It's worrisome. Yeah. Just independent of before you even see it, when the company decides to move it to that time of year, already your eyebrows are going up. Like, well, what do they know that we don't know? So, okay. Open mind. We're going into this.
So, this was a really big surprise. Carl called me up last night, and he was like, hey, Kat, what are you doing?
Because she's local now, folks. She's in D.C.
So we're right here, we're on a sofa together, we're here in person.
I don't know what happened just then, but we're still on the air. I will point out that you could hear that sound in the background. You hear that? Help me out here. You see that sound? That's my manly couch. That's my manly leather couch that Kat complains makes too much noise. So I am.
Because, like, you don't. Why people don't want to really sit on leather?
What? Yes, no one ever makes chairs out of leather.
I'm just saying, it's a really ridiculous thing to want to sit on. I can understand. Okay. And it's 90s black.
All I'm saying. This leather. Hey, this is
like straight out of the 90s.
This is what the players sit on, all right? This is how, because it reclines.
Players from the 90s?
It reclines, two people.
Okay,
my
digress.
The only reason I point that out is because I know how to sit on this couch in dead silence. You can't tell I'm on the couch. Kat, she's going to be very enthusiastic and moving around on the couch, and you'll be able to hear it. But this is all evidence. Good question.
Okay.
All right. It's just doing its thing.
Yeah, it was okay.
Okay. One more time. Oh, hang on. There.
Okay. So Jupiter ascending. I was surprised. I was really shocked that this film was enjoyable. And to me, it actually felt, I wouldn't say that it is as sexy and groundbreaking as The Matrix, but it is better than Speed Racer. It is better than Cloud Atlas.
These are mighty high bars, just saying.
But for Wachowskis, you know? Okay?
Okay.
So I think that they had really great other actors around this film other than Channing and Mila. And I think that raised the level of goodness to this film. Yeah. And I also feel, I learned that because I had to read, I wanted to know, like, was this based off of a book or blah blah blah. No, the Wachowskis actually wrote this together, and it's an original film. Yes, it feels like it, you know, was influenced by a lot of things, but it was something original, and so I really respect that. And I kind of don't really have anything bad to say about this. We'll go into nitpicks and criticism and a critique, which is fair, but I think overall that I am shocked, and good job Lana and I forget the brother's name, but
Andy,
and you did a really good job. This is a really fun film, and for February film, like, I would say this is right there with John Carter as far as fun and spectacle and special effects, scenery, costuming. It was just all around to me good. And I'll let Carl go. Sofa.
Okay. All right. So when you look at the description on IMDb about Jupiter Ascending, there is one very important note when you're reading the title. It says, Jupiter Ascending gives you the date. It says, action, adventure, fantasy, and it gives the release date. That's the key. This is a fantasy film. If you keep that in mind, you might be all right. Okay. So here's the thing. For me, there's always been this, well, kind of strong line between fantasy and science fiction. I'm not a real big fan of science fiction that tries to cross that line it's my personal bias, but there's some hard fact pieces that need to be in place in order for it to be a science fiction film. Fantasy, I let go of all of that and just let this happen. And
like Star Wars.
Well, like I said, Star Wars is on the edge.
But it is.
But for the most part, it's still good science fiction. So let me just back up.
I'm going to go with science fiction fantasy.
Okay. Okay, so here's the thing. First of all, Jupiter Ascending is of the genre of something like Divergent, something like Hunger Games. All right? Mm. Yeah, okay, so here's why. Now, never mind the fact that it's got a relatable lead female character. The main points of the story are romance. There is a wedding. There is, you know, vows and which one should I date kind of thing.
Although, John Carter.
What are you talking about? Well, that's fantasy. But well, all right. So with those broad traditional princess kind of, I mean, literally Cinderella. She's scrubbing a toilet at the beginning, and then comes the giant gown put on by magic fairies. I mean, it is exactly a traditional fairy story. There's just clinking things around it that makes it look like science fiction, but it's fantasy. It really, really is fantasy. So if you go with that, and you expect that as a genre, and you're going in here and understanding that, okay, this is a...
Did you go in there understanding that?
No! Oh. So that's my... And I had a little problem with it, but I let go of that when I realized. I said, okay, you know what? This is a fantasy story that's like that. And once I was in that space, a lot of the stuff kind of... A lot of my concerns about it kind of fell away. Mm. You're absolutely correct in terms of it being a spectacle. No, I'm not cracking. I just mean it's very visually interesting. There's a lot of stuff going on in this film. The action sequences are very, very pretty. And they're very... It's going to be an important piece of it. So, you know, you go in there with that. And this is going to sort of free you from a lot of the stuff that you might expect from a classic science fiction movie. And then we can proceed with how this movie goes. So...
Okay, so I gave my overall impression. I don't think that I got an overall impression from you.
I'm still trying to put it together.
Okay,
honestly.
Well, you know what? We'll ask you again after we critique everything.
All right.
Okay, Carl, we'll let you get away from it. Okay. So the first thing that I really was surprised about was that it was surprisingly beautiful and surprisingly good. I thought that the movie and all of its parts outshined anything that Channing and Mila could have done in the film, and that it was some of the greater parts, blah blah, quote. Sorry about me butchering that quote, but like I said, beautiful costumes and sets. Again, when you said the nod to the Matrix, the thing that I wrote down was humans were used for batteries and energy. Here, humans is used for more time.
Okay, so what happened is you were trying to run out of the theater, but me taking in the movie during the credits is an important part of my process.
You stayed the whole time.
In other words, through the credits. But what happened is so did the other people that were sitting around us. And this group of guys are sitting by, I don't know them, but I'll just quote them. The quote from the movie attenders are, "The Wachowskis can only make one movie. I mean, humans were cows again." It's like, that's what they say. Humans were cows again. And yes, the essential essence of life was distilled out of humanity into these nice glowing tubes to preserve the life force of these early, what do we want to call
proto-humans,
these?
Proto-humans, maybe.
They are our progenitors, our creators. They are the royalty that created all of humanity.
Like
and
Prometheus.
Kind of like that, except they have a better wardrobe.
Mm.
So,
the thing that I thought about that, it was good because you could go in a lot of places with that, because they didn't say that they actually slaughtered humans or needed for... Wait, no. To me, it suggested that perhaps they waited till the human lived its full life, the human, and then possibly in old age take it at that point.
That's not
But then there was going to be an apocalyptic event to where they harvest the souls at once quickly.
Okay.
And so it was a spiritual thing. What gave you another clue that they weren't, like, how did they, slaughter people or did they take them all?
That's a darn good question, because we never get to see a good old apocalyptic devouring of a planet. That would have been pretty cool. I would have liked to have seen that. So instead we wander across a desolate, unpopulated planet and there's all of this Star Trek dust around, and you're like, is the dust supposed to be the people, or is that what the sand is on this world? But no, so we don't know how the process works in mass. But what we did see is, getting right back to our matrix tubes, the examples of when a person or a being was put into one of those tubes and the strange drills and assemblages come around him, that was the energy extraction tube. So all those people we saw in the tanks.
How do we know she didn't, or one of those people? Because I remember them in the tanks, yeah. But people die young all of the time. So, yeah. Like, how do we know that this wasn't, like, a person dying from cancer at a young age and they take them at that point? Or another person dying at another age? They didn't say, because they've been taking humans from the planet all these years, yeah. And it wasn't until, like, now there was going to be a great extinction event, which is we would see as the apocalypse. So I to me, it kind of came across as, oh, they can live their full lives, but when it's time for death, we're gonna get in there and take their soul. And I think that they were extracting, because you know when you die you lose that 7 pounds of whatever, and it's just like that. Well, that theory.
Okay, well, I'll give you that as a possibility, but first of all, it doesn't seem they were that compassionate to me, that, you know, they
You're
were
right,
that they
but
would
I'm
wait
trying
that.
To
you know, I can give you the benefit of the doubt on that, possibly, but the only counter I have on that is, they also seem to be waiting for humanity to reach a certain evolutionary standpoint. I thought that meant that they really didn't care about humanity until it came to a certain degree of genetic ripeness, and then that's when they harvest.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Oh, well, I don't know. I went in not expecting anything, mm-hmm. or expecting the worst, really.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's visually entertaining, and it is not offensive as a film. I will agree with you.
This was not a turd to me. Was it a turd to you, Carl?
No, because it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. You look at, I mean, there were corny elements to it, but it wasn't bad. And
you
that's
don't
the
feel
thing.
Good after you've seen it. Like, I feel uplifted.
I feel okay. I feel okay. I just don't know about uplifted, but I feel okay. The point, I'm not angry.
You didn't have fury upon it.
Nah, there was no fury. It was just kind of like, okay. That was cute.
It was cute.
Yeah, that's my overall feeling so far.
So I think something that did not pay off to me was the Channing Wolf biting story.
Okay, so again, I'm sorry, yeah, we got a little distracted. When they're putting elements like that in the story, especially as prominent, because again, fantasy, you can throw a sprinkle mess in that never has to come back, whatever. But if it's your lead character, and they bring up the fact that he is part wolf, and they go into this story about, and because he's part wolf, he never had a pack to lead. And, you know, you want to see how that comes back around. Or, you know, he's supposed to get his wolf pack. Or something about it is supposed to come back around and make a little bit more sense. Other than the fact that he is apparently a very good tracker. The fact that he's part wolf, and of course he has his Vulcan ears. Oh, and don't forget the canines. He's got the vampire teeth. The fact that he's a wolf never really comes back. It's just, there's no...
Yeah, like there's no wolfy type of... I mean, he's more angel than wolf, guardian angel. They kept saying, and he was always triggered by a royal to bite out their throat. And then I'm like, oh, so what triggered him to bite this royal in the neck?
Apparently he's an anti-bee, because bees like royals. So it's genetically in a bee where they don't sting royals, then something's in a wolf to make him want to bite him.
But the thing is that he bit no royals, and I thought that maybe he would have bitten the royal and killed the royal that killed the mom from the beginning or something.
Okay, so you see how we're working here? This is what you don't want. The reason we are struggling to try to justify that he's part wolf is because they gave us nothing else as to why he's part wolf. He's a part wolf on skater, you know, hockey skater floating boots with mechanical wings.
You notice how he spoke a bit of techno babble at the beginning of the film.
He tried, and man,
they just didn't. They gave up on it
wisely. He was saying some mess about the force of the differential equations.
Just like, I am super uncomfortable.
I didn't make eye contact with Kat at that point because it was early into the film, and I'm trying to. I'm like, no, he did not say differential equations.
I zoned out because I was just like, you know, like when somebody's doing something really embarrassing, you just gotta look away. Yes, I had to look away.
We all looked away. Because he was explaining it to Mila how his boots worked, and I was just like, stop.
My eyes glazed over, and I was just like, wow, this must be how it sounds when I try to explain physics, which is why I don't do it.
So, all right. So, we want to try to do a quick overview of the story, just
that's
what's going on.
That's what we're
kind of
doing.
I mean, just real quick, because we're starting.
Okay, go ahead.
You
do that.
You want to? All right. So, Jupiter Jones, a completely believable name that doesn't sound
January Jones
goofy at all. Yes, that's a good one as well.
Sounds like strippers.
Okay, here's another thing. Perhaps the Wachowskis have some Russian lineage.
No, Mila does.
Mila does.
She's Ukraine.
Okay, but not the Wachowskis. There's nothing happening there.
The reason
I'm asking this is because the whole story starts in Russia. The fact that she has a Russian family is very prominent early in this story. I wonder why. Why does that?
Maybe it's just because I thought it was cute. Because I've been living. I had did like a whole year worth of Russian. Research and
for your
stuff.
For
so
your
I just
fashion.
Was I was it, it was kind of
so visually interesting, but I'm not sure that break helped.
I thought it was interesting. I thought it was funny. I thought it made you know this
Fifth Element-y.
Yes, very
Fifth Element-y.
Element-y. But I like this because while I was watching this film, it made me feel like a kid. Like, I felt a little sense of wonder, and I don't know. I liked it.
And so here's another thing. Again, the reason why I point out it's kind of like Divergent, it's kind of like, you know, some of these other films, is because, okay, I think girls will like this movie. I really think girls will like this movie. It's not... There is a certain eye to certain things that I think the ladies can relate to, besides Channing being shirtless. Not just that. I mean, again, we're talking about a fairy tale story of, you know, princesses, literal princesses, you know, coming of age and all of that. So, the pending romance, not just the shirtless Tatum, although that's important.
Yeah.
But, the attention,
oh, yeah.
The attention to...
Shit, yeah.
I think they heard you. the attention to the costuming and her communion with the bees is so natural. And the flower garden.
I didn't get
Sean
that at
Bean
all.
Has a flower garden, folks, and he lives in a beehive. For some reason,
that
Sean
never
Bean
was explained.
Lives in a beehive in an orchard. So yeah, he's not laying low out there. That's
that was so confusing because I was like, because at a point I was just like, why does he live here?
So this is again because it's fantasy. You just let that mess go, and you enjoy the visual of a crazy old man living in a beehive.
Sean Bean is not that old, and I thought he was gonna die.
I did too. He made it. Just like the black captain, boy. You get a black woman, a whole ship. And this, I was like, oh crap, she's gonna make it.
She's on Luther, that show with Idris Elba, the British show.
Nice.
She's a cop on that show, and I was just like, hey, look at her.
She made it.
She made it, but Sean Bean, do they think he's black? Is he Irish or something? Why do they treat him that way? They kill him all the time, Sean Bean.
I don't know. I don't know. It's terrible. It's terrible.
So I think that I would not be offended if there was a second one to this, because I think it warrants it. I wouldn't say it is as good as Star Wars, but...
Which Star Wars?
Oh.
I'm just trying to be clear here with what you're talking about.
When I said Star Wars, I'm thinking A New Hope.
Okay, yeah, the new series.
You know, it's not as... I can't say it is as good as that, but it would, if you were like searching in Netflix, I think it and John Carter should come up together.
They have that same visual broadness.
Because of all of the creatures, you had the kind of stormtroopers with the stubby hands for guns.
That was ridiculous.
That was really that weird ridiculous. Looking. I was almost offended that there was a black woman on the head
built into his wheelchair or chariot. Yeah, she was built into his chariot.
You know, like on the boat where they have like the
bust of a mermaid on the front.
Right.
This is an actual black woman just chilling on the front of his chariot. I don't know what was up with that.
And because that was like the first person of color that we saw?
Well, we saw the captain.
No, she came later.
You sure? Because how'd they get there? I thought
Well, that was before we knew she existed. But anyway, right. And it was before Sean Bean. Yeah. But
they were a little rough on people of color in this movie. So now the Starship Captain was awesome. There is a beautiful woman. Juju Mbatha-Raw. She used to be on a mystery show. Beautiful woman. And you look at her, you go, oh, that is a beautiful woman. And then they turn to the side and they put big rat ears on her, people. Rat ears on this beautiful woman. It was just wrong. It hurt to see that.
She was on Doctor Who.
Yeah, she's been on a lot of stuff. She was Tish. Remember Tish?
No, I don't remember Tish.
You don't remember Tish? She's, what's her name?
Martha's sister.
Yeah, yeah.
I know I've seen her before.
Yeah, but she was on, what was the darn show? There was a, Undercover. She was on Undercover.
What's that?
Oh, it was a short-lived spy show, came on TV. Anyway, beautiful. So, yeah, people of color, they had some strange stuff done to them in this movie, but we'll let that go, because at least they didn't die.
So there was several scenes in this. He just started to get tiresome because he just did not make any sense.
Okay, tell me this. I agree with you on that. But again, in terms of talking about the value of things, did his sister ever come back? You know, we
saw her turn young and then she was out.
That was it, right?
That's all she needed to do.
We saw her booty and she was done. That was the only thing. She was there. She was there to say, you look like my mother. And by the way,
here we go.
They have the power to live forever. They have built entire worlds out of starships. They can jump across the universe. Only picture she's got of her mom is a soap carving down the hall. That's the best picture that they have of her mother that Mila's supposed to be is that faded statue. That's what they got. They don't have a hologram. They don't have a painting. That thing with the lay around his neck was all they had. Look at your mother. It looks just like you. I couldn't tell it looked like her. I was like, that could be anybody. I'm not sure who it's supposed to be. I see she has two eyes. Maybe. I don't know.
They like had all the candles.
The candles leading up to the soap carving of mom from, you know, how many thousands of years ago. I'm just saying. It's a little nitpick. I just thought they could have unveiled that in a more dramatic way.
Yeah.
So
I didn't quite get... So that humans, we are unique. But sometimes, you know, our genetic code arranges us in the exact same way. And what that means is that you are a doppelganger and that you are... the person that you were.
They are talking about physical reincarnation. That's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's physical reincarnation. That is the idea. Now you don't have the memory, or I don't. You're not.
No. It was an arrangement of genetic sequence that was identical to someone that lived before.
That's right. Yes.
That is just a random reconfiguration that happened in nature, not a necessarily reincarnate. That's not what I think. That's not what I think of when I think of reincarnation.
But we're talking about in this universe. It's not the traditional definition. Oh. But what they're saying is, you know, the universe has conspired to bring this exact same genetic code that was my great-grandmother back together. Therefore, you are now in our family, and you inherit all of her stuff. And that's how the kingly lineage continues. So, you know, that's like... But the other reason I brought up the reincarnation is, you see how he kept asking her if she remembered things when she was his mother? Like, you know,
one point she would.
Again, I'm just pointing out that I don't know if that's supposed to be part of the spiritual lore, if that's supposed to happen, where these reincarnated versions of your future self actually channel your spirit at some point. Where you remember that?
Well, she did say that she hated her life a lot, and then, like, at the end, he was like, you know what my mother said? That she said she hated her life, so she begged me to kill her.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? I was so disappointed at that, because I thought, I thought the wolf bit the person that killed the mom, and so that's why he bit her. They would have bit lost opportunity.
At the heroic moment of, you know, potential death of the villain, you really think he's going to say, well, he fell off the pillar, right? He just fell off the thing, remember? Yeah. Okay, so, and that, by the way, is, you know, Aliens at the end, where everything is falling apart and they've got to try to get to the spaceship and the spaceship's not coming. We're standing here by ourselves. How are we going to make it? And then the ship shows up at the last minute and they're like, yay, everybody. So, again, that was like Aliens. Yeah, You have 5 minutes to reach minimum safe distance. Yes, yes, and everything's falling down. So again, it's a hodgepodge. It's a very strong hodgepodge of every sci-fi film that you've seen. Pieces of all over.
Well, I mean, how can you not be influenced by all of these things that you've seen?
To a degree, that's fair to say. But if you're going to be this visually distinctive, you can be the fifth element. You can be Stargate. You know, when these movies came out, there was a whole history of movies before it, but Stargate didn't really look like Doom that much. You know, you couldn't sit there when you're watching the movie Stargate. You could say, well, there's a pyramid, but throughout the story, they had a very distinctive feel, even though they were sort of like pseudo-Egyptian historic, but no, they felt different, right? Yeah. So it's not good enough to say, you know.
Actors, I'm just saying that I like them with other people, both of them, but like them together holding a whole film, I don't know. But I always like them with other actors that I like. They're like an ingredient actors.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you can kind of catch my meaning on that. But great people, you know, great people. I'm not dissing them. I don't know.
I'm just saying, it's not even...
I think, what I'm saying is, I think it's fine that they were the way they were, because it gave everything else in the film a chance to shine.
But see, that's my point. You said gave everything else a chance to shine. I don't think they stepped back. I just think everything else was so bright and flashy and big that the leads were almost interchangeable because of everything else that was going on. There came a moment when I'm watching the movie and I'm going, really? Would this matter if someone else was in that role right now? Given all the other stuff that's going on, can you imagine?
Of Chris Evans as Channing Tatum.
Okay, all right.
That would have been the same film, really.
Okay, let's take it up a notch though. Let's pull down some Shakespearean chops. Can you think of somebody that has a really, really strong acting presence that's young, that if we put them in this movie, somehow their portrayal of these characters would have brought so much more to what we saw, or would have added
RDJ?
Okay, but I'm just asking, you know, what
he would have been funny.
Well, that's true.
And and arrogant. And but that's him in everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So who else? You could have gone with that one guy from Pacific Rim. Either one of those actors, Pacific Rim.
So, but my question is: are we finding equally interchangeable people?
Or
do you want to find
something identifiable, like somebody with a signature, like Will Smith or something?
I'm just asking, if someone with a strong acting...
Charlize Theron,
you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you put her, when she was
Mila.
In there, what would have been different?
Charlize?
Well, that's just visual. I don't know because I'm not sure. I'm not sure it would have, because when there's a movie that's got so much other stuff popping around it,
I think that they were kind of perfect then, because you don't want your actors. You don't want kitchen sink, right?
Because
anything more would have been too kitchen sink.
No.
And I think it was fine that they were kind of a blank slate to pull on every once.
I'm not sure.
Okay, maybe I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not sure that's the way to go in a movie. it is my bias that if you put strong actors in there, even if you've got other stuff popping out, that it's complementary to the overall experience. But what I'm trying to figure out is, you know, given the arc of this story and what was going on, if we put some really heavy, big...
You need to come up with something, because I've been throwing out names and you're dissatisfied with what I've been coming up with. So, sir, why don't you get on it?
I started with Brad Pitt and...
That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense.
Why?
Because they're not right.
Why?
Because, I don't know, they're not right.
Well, okay. It's
too typical. I wouldn't want that.
Too typical.
I don't want it.
I would think...
Chris Pine. Okay. He has an attitude. Did you see Jack Ryan?
Yeah.
It was decent.
Okay. All right, well, I'm gonna leave it out there and just say I'm not sure...
Give us a call. 773.
Who else should have been cast? if they were the leads of Jupiter Ascending, would that have added something to it? I'm curious, because
you're gonna wake up at 5 a.m.
You know I am. I might call you and say, "Splice this into the show, Kat. Put this in there." It'll sound totally natural. The splice. It'll be like, "What if Harrison Ford had been in the lead?" I don't know.
Your spooky co-host.
Yes, I'll think about
Carl.
It.
Carl.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
So what else?
I'm getting to tell you right now. Look at my background here. Okay? The movie Oblivion came out just a little while ago. Okay? Tom Cruise. That had a unique story that really... It was a little Twilight Zone-y, I'll give you that, but to borrow from one, maybe two classic sci-fi shows or movies, I'm with you on that. But not all of them. Not everyone that I've seen before.
If you can take every science fiction film and borrow it and put it into a science fiction film and make it the way they did here, that was very kind of fun and interesting for a new crowd. That maybe this film isn't for us. Maybe it's for people that are younger for us. That's not like what. Think about if this was your first. Okay. Sci-fi fantasy film, and you don't have the knowledge of Star Wars. You don't have the knowledge of all the things that we listed down. You're a fresh 18-year-old person who hasn't seen that many things.
15,
this is going to be
good. 15.
Okay, 14, 15. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a really fun thing for them to see, and that they haven't seen before, and that's fine to me.
And a younger audience, I would strongly recommend for this.
That's why I said it made me feel like a kid.
I will give you that. Most good fantasy films do take you back. That's the magic of fantasy films. They bring you back to that time in your life, and that's a special and a rare thing.
You too old for it.
No. I mean, there are some fantasy films I really enjoy that do that. I actually kind of like City of Ember, but we'll come back to that.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, and I also liked The Golden Compass. I liked that.
Oh, I need to see that.
For the same kind of reasons, in terms of the fantasy took me back to childhood. But that those stories were not every show I've seen before all rolled into one. They take a story, a simple story, and they give it a unique twist. I'm not sure that what we saw here was that level of unique, but it was still enjoyable. I'll simply say it was an enjoyable fantasy film. I believe it is for a younger audience. I'll agree with you on that. But what you asked me was, you know, can you do that anymore? Can you come up with unique stories? What I'm saying is, yes, there are many.
Oblivion, which one was that? It was Tom Cruise. Which one?
That was Planet Earth had been devastated, and the energy harvesters were there, and he was there with the redhead that looked like, what's her name?
But it was fine.
But all I'm saying is, name.
It wasn't epic, but it was fine.
Well, when you say epic, are you talking about the scope of the story? Are you talking about visually interesting? Because, you know, when you say epic, when we're talking about visually epic, that's because this movie has a high detail of visual experience in it. I mean, the costuming,
like,
the
Oblivion could be just one story. This you can build out to 2-3 more movies.
Well, really?
Let's say I don't want to see Channing and Mila again, and we have like maybe some of the other characters or something, or we get something else.
So they built a big world.
Yeah,
they
maybe we can go in the world and bang stuff around a little bit, because it felt like a really fun world.
It is a very broad world, baby. But you still have to tell a story in that world. Lucas made a big world, and we saw what The Phantom Menace was like. Big world!
But he made three that was fine, I think, because, you know, at its time, people did not have anything. What?
Are you saying four? You said he made three at its time?
The trilogy.
The original ones. Trilogy. Yeah, four, five, and six.
Right.
Right, yes,
he
right.
He made the first three. What? Now I'm confused.
You said he made three, and I was trying to figure out if you meant episode three of them at a time.
Oh, them in that chunk of time. And then I don't even consider, you know, I didn't say six, because whatever. But, he made three of those at that time,
in
that era.
In the 70s.
Yeah. And that was brand new, but he still borrowed from a lot of things, but they were books.
Okay, so
that not everybody had heard of or read. Like, he blatantly stole from like this one, like Japanese or Korean, ancient Korean, Japanese.
Yeah, he had swords and codes of
honor
and all
of
that.
Shit like that. Mm-hmm. And then he like hodgepodge some weird aliens in there and all this other type of shit. So how is that any different? Only that we don't really have like every place that Lucas was inspired by.
I will simply say, and there's nothing wrong with borrowing from the past, but I will simply say, given the common language that we all have now, I mean, we can Google en masse and pull that stuff up. I think that if you're going to tell a story now, that, you know, maybe just borrow from a couple of things, or dig a little bit deeper into things that everyone hasn't seen to borrow from. There's plenty.
There's just not an. I mean,
I
these are things that
I
only because
is.
You're old, Carl.
No,
you.
I listen. So you're talking about Lucas, right? And where his influences came from? Does no one read a book? I mean, do you know how much?
Not
incredible.
Many people.
That's my point. Do you know how much really unique, innovative science fiction there is in the books? And people keep making like the same kind of sci-fi movies. But look, you want to rip something off? Go look at the books, the stories that have been written in science fiction, either modern or take the old school, and then remake that. Bring elements of that
into
the movie.
You know what
I
never want to see made?
What?
The Moon is a Harsh Mist. Harsh Mistress.
I don't know that one.
My God. That was like the longest technical manual ever.
Okay,
like,
so
Tom Merritt has a book club. You know who I'm talking about, Tom? Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, that shit was good, blah, 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 blah. And
it was rough?
It was rough. I never want to see that.
Kind of like, okay, well.
Right. If they, like, take out the technical manual part.
All I'm saying is we're talking about borrowing past influences to create something, right? Don't pick the bad part of the past influence.
Rough.
There's plenty of stuff out there that, you know, you might be able to assemble. But anyway, so it is definitely visually interesting. It is a broad space to create things in. But a lot of it's
where you get that from, but sir, you are different.
I am simply pointing out the fact that I can communicate effectively about the difference is all I'm saying here, that I believe that this story tends a little bit more to, and of course, hello, the lead's girl. You know, so
the lead is Channing Tatum.
Hell no, is not. He is not the lead
he
in this movie. No, he's not the lead in this movie.
His name is Belford.
It is probably because they paid him more, but he is not the star of this film. He's not the star. The name is Jupiter Ascending. Who's Jupiter? Why are you looking at? You saw the film. You don't have to scroll through who's first. The film's called Jupiter Ascending. That's not Channing Ascending. What? You hit some button over here. Let me see. What are you scrolling for? You saw the movie. You don't have to look at the IMDb.
He was the ascending part because he's...
Come on. See, we're just talking crazy now. This is a movie about Mila. She was the lead in this film. So, I mean, you... Channing was not the lead. Just because you like him doesn't mean he was the lead.
I liked him. I feel like I saw this a different film.
You really don't realize that Mila is the lead in this movie?
Well, I mean, I guess. But what my thing, but we have more of a journey.
Her journey. Her journey.
It's his journey.
How is it his journey?
Because he changed and he overcame.
You are just distracted by the shirtlessness of him.
So this is how exactly I did not notice Jar Jar in what was it? Phantom Menace.
Phantom Menace. Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly how I did.
Perhaps you are able to blind yourself to some parts of the film.
And I was blinded by the science, really.
No, you were blinded by Liam Neeson is what you were blinded by.
The science of love.
Okay, anyway. I'm not going to say I have made my case here. I am simply going to back up to my initial point.
I think the point was that I was agreeing with you that it made your case because I wasn't able to tell. You say you're able to tell that it was for girls, and I'm all like, oh my God, it made me feel like a kid. And I was just like, well, then maybe it's for girls because that's the way I feel about it.
And
or
that's
is that.
I am not even going to go back to that point. I'm simply going to say. What triggered this whole conversation is you're looking at the hate that's on Box Office Mojo, and what I said is, if you've got guys watching this movie and they've got an expectation of a certain kind of science fiction, it says fantasy, biggest day on here, I went in there thinking it was a sci-fi movie. That's on me.
Wikipedia says it's a science fiction film.
Well, we're looking at IMDb. It says fantasy in big words, and I'll give it that. And when you go and when you're watching the movie, it is clearly a fantasy movie. That's why I prefaced this entire podcast multiple times.
This is a fantasy film.
So that releases me from a lot of noise. But not everybody going to this, they see spaceships, they see lasers. They're thinking this is a hardcore science fiction film, and then they go in there and it's.
But they don't treat Star Wars the same way, and that's rise the line, fantasy and.
But not as much as this did, and it's not a story that leans towards the girls. It's not. Star Wars doesn't. For the 70s, it was empowering for women because Leia was a strong character, but she's not the lead. It was Luke that was the lead of Star Wars.
And Channing.
Oh my, stop this. Stop this. So I'm just going to, you know, so the answer to the question, in my opinion, is
the star of Phantom Menace?
Well, it
Liam Neeson.
No, it was not supposed
it
to be.
It was Liam Neeson.
It was not supposed to be Liam Neeson. It was supposed to have been Anakin.
Oh.
It was supposed to have been Anakin.
The kid?
The kid. Because he's Vader. It was supposed to have been Anakin. Anakin was supposed to be the lead in all three of those movies.
Yeah, no.
So the fact that you have blocked that from your memory is, again, how this mechanism has saved you and allowed you to enjoy these films.
Roger.
But that was Anakin's film. All three were supposed to be.
Yeah.
So
Neeson was the star of all three, really.
I thought he was the star of one. I agree. I went to Phantom Menace for Liam and Darth Maul, and both of them got killed. I was like,
spoiler,
really?
Killed spoiler. All?
Yeah, you're sorry if you hadn't seen that yet, you guys listening to the Sci-Fi Party Line. I don't know.
So. What? Any final thoughts, or are we done with Jupiter Ascending? Because I have some more questions I want to ask.
Okay, go ahead. Listen, what were the questions?
Okay, they're not related to Jupiter Ascending, though.
Oh, really? Okay.
No.
Well, I think we're about done here. It's a fabulous fantasy story, visually impactful. I believe, particularly, teenage girls will enjoy this movie. I really.
Is he big enough? Is he Thor enough? Like, we don't. You know, there were plenty of questions about Thor, and then Thor happened, and he dropped the hammer. It's time for action.
Oh, you didn't say drop the hammer. You did not say drop. I don't know. I'm just saying, for this to be the, you know, the comeback of Ghostbusters, there is an awful lot of trepidation heading into this that is not encouraging. That's not you want when a movie is coming back, I think, especially because you're using the name of a movie that has been big in the past, you want there to be genuine enthusiasm for it. You want the fact, ooh, Ghostbusters has come. You want that word of mouth to start getting people excited about. When they...
I think it's going to be badass.
You think so?
Yeah.
I hope so.
What's the lady's name? What's her
name?
What's the
cast. Let's just look it up right
here.
Yeah,
because it's the one lady that I'm like, yeah, I love her.
Okay, okay, so we got Kristen Wiig.
She's fun.
Melissa McCarthy.
Is that the one that I like?
She's in everything, including Spy now that's coming out.
Yes.
Spy.
Have you seen the one with her and
Jason
the
Bateman.
Chick from...
Sandra Bullock?
Yes.
Okay, yes, I've seen him.
That was hilarious.
That was very funny.
It was
Melissa
very
McCarthy, she, in my opinion, is the most uniquely funny out of the ones that are in this lineup here. I mean... The stuff
Kristen
that she
Wiig can be funny.
She's on the fence again. Kristen again. She can be really funny.
She has
funny
a she
can be...
snark funniness sometimes.
She's
that...
squarely in Saturday Night Live. She has her Saturday Night note going in there. Leslie Jones, I think, is surprising.
Who is that?
And I think she is funny. I think
I
she's
don't
funny.
Know who that is.
She's now on Saturday Night Live. She's been on a lot of stuff online and other things.
I don't know who this Kate McKinnon is.
She is also on Saturday Night Live.
Oh. So when you say you were concerned about the Saturday Night Live, all of them are from...
That's what I'm saying.
That's concerning.
That was my concern.
I don't watch Saturday Night Live.
Well, you know, not everyone. It's not everybody's cup of tea.
Because,
look... I would have loved if Maya Rudolph had been in here as one of the alums.
Oh,
man,
now she's funny.
I would have loved for her to have been
in
the Ghostbusters.
Why is she not in this?
Very good question. Very good question. But we'll let that go.
She'd have been a great Ghostbuster.
She really would have.
Actually, if she'd have been in here, I'd have been okay.
I would have been more excited.
I would have been super okay with the casting.
If Melissa McCarthy and Maya Rudolph were
done.
I would have been
done.
Very excited about that. But again, you know, look, Leslie. Okay, look, Leslie has got a very brusque comedic edge to that feels like what's his name? He was on Saturday Night Live too. His name had was in a car accident recently.
Kevin. With the truck.
Yes.
Right.
That guy.
Whatever.
Okay,
yeah.
We're gonna edit
whatever.
That. We're gonna
whatever.
Edit
that's
that,
fine.
Yeah.
So okay, that's fine. So Ghostbusters, we have the Ghostbuster himself with a proton pack and a costume,
I was very excited about the prospect of Ghostbusters coming back. I'm sad that we lost Harold Ramis. Because that really bothered me. Because I really thought, you know, Egon coming back would have been great. Just even for a cameo. But I am concerned about where this is going.
I think it'll be fine.
I hope so.
I hope it'll be fine.
I hope so.
Okay, so Carl did not watch the Super Bowl. So he did not see a certain trailer. But then, as we were in the film today, he was forced to watch it, and I could barely contain myself. He, on the other hand, was cool as a cucumber. You know what I'm talking about, fellas? It is the new Terminator Genesis film. Carl, talk about this.
I don't know what's wrong with you. How many times does your heart have to be broken?
My heart is anew every time.
No, you should
I have a recyclable heart.
You should be worn down to chalky dust after our time after time experiences with
every
Terminator.
Every experience is an opportunity for new love,
every
Carl.
Opportunity to have your heart crushed and your soul just squeezed out once
my
again.
My heart grows anew
oh,
all the time.
You,
it's renewable.
You are just... So, this was the first time I saw the new Terminator.
Tell me
Genesis.
What you think.
Oh.
Anything. And I'm just like, who are you as a person that...
I'm not letting it happen.
You saw all that. That's how we met, Carl.
I know.
We saw the one with... what is the yelling actor, American Psycho guy?
You mean Batman?
Yeah, Batman.
You mean Batman?
We saw that together. That was our first
film. And our first party line. Sci-fi party line together.
Yeah, it was. And we didn't...
It was not so epic, that film. It was not so visually epic.
It had problems.
Oh, it had some problems. Now, granted, it was not the worst Terminator film.
What was the worst one? The one with the lady?
Yeah.
Is that the one with the...
Yeah,
her pantsuit just bothered me.
That was kind of sad.
That's all I really remember was the horrible Hillary Clinton pantsuit that she killed in.
Hard to be terrified by that.
It was.
And you could tell they had no budget for that compared to the other ones. I think Otto paid for that out of his wallet. He's like, I will pay for this film. I mean, I actually think he did pay for that film. So you can feel it in some of the effects. It's the Star Trek V of the Terminator films.
Oh, that's...
It is.
That's it. I don't know. Well, we're going to see that. Kat is pumped. Right. I am pumped. And I think Carl was pumped, too.
I think, at
the end of The Grinch Stole Christmas, where his heart was, like, cold, and then it was, like, beating, and then it turned into a red heart, and it grew? I think that's what happened to Carl, and he's just not letting...
No. The only way that is going to happen is at the end of seeing the movie. If I have seen this movie and then you see the corner of my mouth curl up, it's starting to curl up, and then only after seeing him, because look, we have seen previews. Come on now, you and I are old timers at this. We have seen previews. You right there with me, girl. We have seen previews, and when we go to see the movie, it is a totally different movie than what we see in the previews. So I'm not going to get excited. I'm going to watch this movie, and only at the end am I going to say, all right, now, that's it. So, no.
Think the fact that you're kind of predicting that at the end you're going to say, all right, now.
I didn't predict that.
But you're in the positive because you said all right now because you could have said, this sucks.
But I told you ahead of time, there's nothing wrong with this trailer. I don't have the feeling that I had with some of the previous trailers. So that's encouraging.
But the trailer for the other one looked good.
But I told you, they always felt like something was off about them. I could feel the budget with Terminator 3. The next one was just too darn gray. It's like, really, we got to watch this through concrete dust, the whole film. We got to watch through and Batman voice. Batman voice in concrete. That's all we got out of that movie.
It was confusing because we were like, well, is he the star or is the other guy this? What's happening?
Yeah.
So it was confusing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was this battle of the leads going on in that movie. Where it's like, which one's the lead? I don't know. So I don't have the feeling. I don't have that feeling with Terminator. So.
But Arnold's back and he's like gave up his political career.
He didn't give it up. Dude was retired. He's retired. So, yeah, he did. Arnold needs a job. So, I'm glad to see him going back to his roots.
Oh, well, you know.
All right. So, are we wrapping this up, my dear?
I think so, unless we have any other. I thought the Peter Pan trailer was pretty good. It was very magical, yeah. And I wanted it drew me in, and it gave me that kid feeling.
Again, I was feeling a little panned out because there's been an awful lot of Peter Pan lately. There's been a lot of them. I mean, there's how many Peter Pan movies are there? Think about it. I mean, there was
Once Upon a Time.
That's a TV show, though, right?
Well, the Once Upon a Time had Peter Pan on it.
Okay, so there's Once Upon a Time.
Then there was the musical.
There was the musical. Then there was the last Peter Pan movie that I cannot remember the name of, but it was the one that came after Hook, which had Robin Williams in it. Robin Williams was in Hook. He was Peter Pan. That came out in the late 90s.
Oh, you went back. Oh, okay. I was just like, what are you talking about? That's not recent.
Well, I'm going through the history. When we're on number 5 and it's within 20 years' time, that's a lot of Pan movies. That's a lot of movies.
Oh, like Spider-Man shouldn't have came back?
It shouldn't have come back. No, that was way too. That was way too soon to try to reboot a series. But look,
but you know what? I didn't see the second.
That's why you're looking at me going, you mean like Spider-Man with this optimistic, innocent look?
No,
if you'd seen it, you'd have the same Craig like, oh. Sci-Fi Party Line audience, we apologize for not including Spider-Man, whatever. What was it called? The second one, Spider-Man 2?
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, Boogaloo in last year's reviews. I could not bring myself to ask Kat to watch it. Because after I saw it, I was like, what is this mess? But it was bordering on a turd, in my opinion.
I thought you claimed it was a turd, and we just accidentally forgot.
Because you haven't seen it. I don't give it the full turdage until you sign off on it. So I'm just saying, if you had seen it, we might have eased that into the turd-a-thon toward the end of the last year. So yeah, that was way too soon to reboot that. And I'm telling you, know, I'm always looking for new stuff in movies. So when they keep bringing back stories, look, you know, Peter Pan. Well, we're going to tell Peter Pan from Wendy's perspective now. Oh, for God's sake! You know, there's no other stories out. And we got to do this 5 times in 20 years. So I mean, so visually, I'm going to give you that. It was so exciting.
It's beautiful.
To see.
It reminded me of that one film. What is it? Land of the Lost. Time Machine or
which one?
I forgot what it's called. Okay. But whatever. Forget it.
All right. Well, but so yeah,
it looks wonderful.
Despite the fact there've been 8 billion Pan movies, when I saw this preview, I was like, okay, well, this looks sufficiently creative. You know, it had
it looks
a certain,
beautiful. Yeah.
It had a sparkle about it that I was like, well, maybe I'll check it out.
What else are we excited about?
I don't know. This was a big year. There's a bunch of stuff happening.
You said something that we were specifically excited about.
Chappie?
Was that it?
Okay,
I don't know. But I guess we should wrap it up before we start Googling and interneting and stuff. So, you ready, Carl?
Yes, I am.
All right, that's our show. We love your feedback. Give us a call at 773-336-2686. Go to our website. Leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. You can also leave a comment on iTunes.
You can find us online on Twitter and Gmail. I'm at RoboMinister.
Really?
I'm at RoboMinister. Kat is at FancyFimbot. And you can reach us both at Sci-Fi Party Line on Facebook, Google+, and Stitcher Radio.
Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoyed the show. And we will see you at the party next time.
Bye.
end of line.